Thank you for joining us today for another podcast from Flushing Community Church. We are real people seeking to understand the truth revealed in God's Word. You can join us every Sunday at our place of gathering in Flushing, Michigan. Find out more by visiting flushingcommunity.org.
Last week, I want to just kind of start with a 30-second review of the conversation we had last week. We started a sermon series that's only going to be 3 weeks long, so we'll conclude it this next Sunday, called Spiritual Stimulus Plan. We've all heard about stimulus plans in our world, about how every world government is trying to figure out a way to spark their economy and get things growing again, right? Well, there is something to be said about our spiritual life as well, our spiritual journey that needs some kind of stoking. It needs some kind of attention to kind of get things moving forward. So last week we basically spoke about this idea that we all need to have our faith renewed from time to time. That there's a desperate need among all of us, every believer, every seeker, everyone who's ever been created, to have a time of renewal. It's good for our marriages to have a time of renewal. Speaking of marriages, we have a newly married couple in the house today. I told people last week to not drink the water. It only took 1 week for us to have another newly married couple, James and Lisa Malloy. Would you guys stand? Let's welcome them today. They're looking great. They survived the torrential downpours for a planned outside wedding, but it all came together in here, and that's great. So it's good to have you guys here today as a married couple. But whenever we have relationships that need renewal, we have our marriages that need renewal, we have our general lives just at times go through really difficult times and need a sense of renewal, and our spiritual lives are no different. We can come to church for week after week after week and just feel so lost. And we need God to renew us. And that was our focus of last week when we looked at this man, Zacchaeus, and how God renewed him by Jesus approaching him. So today's focus is going to take us to the next step. Our focus today is going to be very simple: living within reach of God's grace and power so that our faith is on a sustainable path of growth. One thing that caused, I believe, and I don't really understand economics very well at all, but one thing that caused our economic stall is that our growth as a nation was on an unsustainable path. I have a brother-in-law who bought a house in Vegas, who just 18 months after buying that house, the house was worth twice what he paid for it. I have another brother-in-law that lives in Washington, D.C. The same kind of thing. What they bought their house for, just a couple of years later, the house was worth several hundred thousand dollars more. Now, that is not a path of economic trending that's sustainable. And we all discovered that very painfully and continue to discover that very painfully. But what I want us to think about today and what I want us to discover today is a path of spiritual growth that can be sustainable. Sure, there are going to be good days and bad days. There's going to be bad moments and seasons of time when a friend, a very close friend, will get sick and die, or we go through a season of losing our job. And there's moments where we really wonder where God is. I understand that. Even in seeking God out, sometimes we just feel like He's distant. But overall, if we can get into the idea of what we're going to speak of today, I believe we can put our spiritual path on a journey, on a direction that is really sustainable for us, day in and day out. What we want to do, though, is to begin to understand God's work. How does God work? And that's where our focus is going to be for today. I'd like to define a term for you, one that really has been somewhat foreign for me for a long time. It's a phrase, really, means of grace. Have anyone ever used, a preacher used means of grace before as something to talk about God's work? That's what I thought. So let's go start on the ground level and just talk about this. When we are using the words means of grace, we're really talking about the ways in which God speaks to His people. The ways that God speaks to His people. Now, we could go through and we could ask every one of you how God has spoken to you. There's probably 135 people in the building right here, maybe a little more. And we would have 135 different ways that God has spoken to us. But there are some large pictures of how God commonly understood ways that God speaks to His people, ways that we need to put ourselves in that path so that we can hear God work. John Wesley is he was a pretty smart guy. He lived a long time ago, and maybe he wasn't as smart as he just was stinking holy. I mean, he just had an understanding of how God communicates, among many others who have gone through and written some great stuff. I came across one of his sermons this week and actually was so moved by it that I made about 35 copies available for you at the back Welcome Center if you want to grab one on your way out the door. Now, you have to be able to read out loud unless you understand how to read Old English. But it's a moving sermon on understanding how God works and what the means of grace are. This is how John Wesley would have defined means of grace: outward signs ordained by God and appointed for this end to be the channels whereby He might convey to men preventing, justifying, and or sanctifying grace. Three different elements of grace there. That definition should be in large part in your handout with that word ordained that you would need to fill in if you want to follow along today. John Wesley is saying that the means of grace is this, are these opportunities, these outward signs, these things that take place in your life that God ordains, that God says He will use in order to convey to us His grace. And we understand grace just to be the work of God, the work of God in your life, the opportunity for Him to work in your life. Now, there's a little bit of a warning here in my second point on this slide. They are the way we experience God, but they are not the goal itself. They are not the goal itself. Let me explain what I mean by this. Sometimes we could talk about reading Scripture as a means of grace. God is going to speak to you, and we're going to use that as an example in just a little while. God uses God's Word, His revealed Word to us, to communicate His love, to communicate His work in our life. We get inspired by God's Word. But if we think that just simply reading God's Word over and over and over and over again is the work of God, we're missing the point. God is always bigger. I want to set this tone very early. God is always bigger than the means. The means are not the end, in other words. Our goal can't be simply on doing more things that look religious or sound religious, but allowing those religious things to point us to the Almighty God. So our focus can never be on the things we do. Our focus can never be on the actions that we take. Our focus needs to be on the God who bids us to do it. Well, I just used an old English term there. I got a lot of Wesley in me. God bids us to do these things, not so those things are our goal, but so that He can work through them. In John chapter 1, beginning in verse 15, these words are written. John testifies concerning Him, John the Baptist. He cries out saying, "This was He of whom I said, 'He who comes after me has surpassed me, because He was before me.'" I love that confusing phrase. The one I'm talking about who's coming after me is bigger and better and badder than me, because He also was before me. "From the fullness of His grace we have all received one blessing after another. For the law was given through Moses," the key verse here, "but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. The law of God came through Moses and is revealed to us through the Old Testament. But grace and truth, God working through forgiveness and God working through His Son, comes by Jesus Christ alone." So now we're not so confined to the law, so to speak, but we're confined to the law of love that comes from grace that Jesus offers us. So what I'd like to do is just kind of explain it this way. Understanding God's work has basically three components. First of all, our goal. What is the goal in understanding God's work? The goal is to be in God's presence. The goal is to experience God's love and God's power in our daily life. Every one of you are here today wanting to experience God right where you live. Moms, you want to experience Him while loading the dishes in the dishwasher. I know you do. You want to experience Him when you're folding clothes. You want to experience Him when you're loving on your kids and fixing meals. Guys, you want to experience God's power at work. I know many of you experience God's power when you're up in a tree stand and those days are coming. I don't know how many of you guys have started counting down till opening season, right? We want to experience God's grace and power in our life. That is the goal, to be in God's presence. But the means of grace get us there. So the second component I want to talk about is the path. The path is the direction you've chosen to experience the goal. Actually, the path, maybe better stated, is the direction God has chosen to experience the goal. Right? Look at it this way. If all of us want to get into God's presence, if all of us want to arrive at the house of God, we're all going to have to go and get in our cars and go drive to the house that God is, where He dwells, where His presence is. So the path is the road, it's the street. It's the direction that God gives us by which we need to get there. The third component is the method. It's the vehicle by which God uses to share His love and power to us while on that path. The method is your car. Some of you drive a truck. I drove a truck with an Indiana license plate until last week. Now I just drive a plain old blue truck. Because someone among us felt inspired. No, I'm just kidding. I didn't mean to bring that in. But someone stole my Indiana license plate, and I'm a little feisty about it. The good news is they put it inside my truck, and I found it a week later. But how about that? That's kind of crazy of them. Confession will be in just a little while. Some of you drive a minivan. Some of you drive a foreign car. We're praying for you. And then others of you, you know, have all different kinds of things. Some of you have airplanes, for crying out loud. That's so cool. Now, the method that God ordains for you is the method that God ordains for you. That's the method. That's the path. That's the method that you need to be on. That's the way you need to get there, right? Not all of us are going to get there the same way. We're not all going to choose the same path. Now, I'm not talking about there are many gods here. There's one God. But there are different ways to experience Him. I'm not talking about Hinduism being a way to experience God. No, it's false. I'm not talking about Islam being a way to experience God. No, it's false. I'm not talking even about the Jewish faith being a way to experience God, because they have fallen short of what God has provided through God's Son. Okay? I'm talking about the one God, and His Son, Jesus Christ, speaks to you and I differently. He provides different means of grace, different ways to experience Him. For some of you, you experience God, like I mentioned, in a tree stand. For some of you, you experience God in a Bible study. Different means of grace, but the same God, the same power. John Wesley said this as another warning. But in the process of time, when the love of many waxed cold, when the church forgot about how to love one another, some began to mistake the means for the end, and to place religion rather in doing those outward works than in the heart renewed after the image of God. Let us always remember, we have got to remember, that the goal of the Christian walk is a renewed heart. It's the Spirit of God getting a hold of us in a way that changes and transforms us. So that we don't look at everybody the same way, that we don't think about others the same way, but that we're renewed by God's love. John Wesley went on to say, all who desire the grace of God are to wait for it in the means which He has ordained. This process is not quick. The path and the journey in which you need to go on might take some time. You're going to have to experience some waiting and some moments of self-reflection. But if you want God's grace to work in your life, if I want God's grace to work in my life, then I'm going to need to get serious about focusing on it, to get serious about waiting on it, and hoping for it to come. Final quote from Wesley today. Before you use any means, he says, let it be deeply impressed on your soul There is no power in this. It in itself, a poor, dead, empty thing, separate from God, it is a dry leaf, a shadow. Neither is there any merit in my using this, which I am interpreting him saying, there's no merit in me even speaking to you today. Nothing intrinsically pleasing to God. Nothing whereby I deserve any favor at his hands. No, not a drop of water to cool my tongue. But because God bids, therefore I do. Because he directs me to wait this way, therefore here I wait for his free mercy, whereof cometh my salvation. We're going to receive communion in just a moment. And we're going to be talking about it in the terms of a means of grace. That God can use it to work in your life. But in those elements, and this might rock your world from where you were, from your spiritual journeys, from where you might have come from, in these elements there is no power in and of themselves. Separate from God, this is grape juice and a cracker. But when our hearts turn to God, when our hearts get hungry for God's work, when we are hungry for God to show us which way to live and how to live and how to direct our life, then these elements can become the body of God. They can take on the power of God's body, His presence filling you. But if all we do is focus on receiving these elements, we've missed it. We need to turn our attention to Him who redeems us through elements like this. I want to look at just a few today, common means of grace. These are commonly understood to be areas of the way God works in our lives. On your insert, if you're following along and taking some notes, if you'd like to, there's just the bottom half is basically blank for you to say, I think that God works in my life this way. The first means of grace that is commonly understood, comes right out of the works of Wesley and others, many, many others, is prayer. Prayer is a means of grace by which we speak to God our heart, but we also need to listen for God's response. And too often we think prayer is saying the right words and doing, you know, that kind of thing where we sound all flowery and beautiful. But a lot of times the best prayer is with our mouths closed and our hearts turned to God in silence. When was the last time you ever felt like you sat in a moment of silence? If you got any of these kids in your household, that probably never ever happens, right? But God works through us, speaking to us, if we would only listen, through this means of grace, by praying for one another, by praying for yourself. For in that moment when you feel yourself getting just a little bit out of control, you stop and you say, God, help me. Help me not go there. Help me not make that wrong decision. Help me look for you today. I had a morning like that just not too long ago, within this last week. I have a lot of them, quite honestly, if I can just confess. I mean, you can ask Tammy and she'll let you know. I'm not a morning guy. So getting the kids out the door, trying to read some scripture, trying to do some things, you know, holy, and they just want to drive me crazy. Right? But I was in the kitchen after everybody had left and just said, God, I feel myself spinning out of control today. I'm going to need you to come in and stop this. Taking moments, simple moments, and saying, God, I need you. That's prayer. And then allowing Him to work. Scriptures. John Wesley says that we need to be people who are constantly investigating the Scriptures. No one of us will ever get it all. The living Word of God. It's called the living Word of God because it's alive. It changes in what we need. It's exactly what you need for today. It's exactly what I need for today. It's this amazing, never-changing, but always changing book. The foundation and the essence of it never changes, but what you need from it is always there and available for you. So we need to be people who are reading and investigating and getting into God's Word. Now, one simple way that you can put this into practice right away And it's not the best way. It's just a way is to take that yellow insert you have in your hand today and begin just to read some scriptures throughout the week. Even if you only read one or two, put that out somewhere that you'll see it. Put it next to the kids' school lunch boxes. Put it on the refrigerator. Remind yourself you need to be in God's Word this week. Third, commonly understood means of grace in the church is about communion. This amazing sacrament, this outward work of what God is doing inside of us. And by communion, what we're doing is engaging the life and the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. By receiving this meal, God calls us to do something. He calls us to reflect. He calls us to just pause long enough to ask ourselves where we are in relationship to Him. So that's what I would like to do today. As we take just a few minutes to receive communion, what I'm going to call you to do is to stop. Look for the power of God in your life. Ask Him honestly, where am I with you? And in that moment where God shows and demonstrates to you that there is a misalignment, where something just isn't right, and He's revealing that to you, that's the means of grace. That's where God is saying, that's where I want you to be. Come closer to me. Here I am. And God is stepping towards you through this act. In some ways, as a church, this is as close as we'll ever get to being in the presence of God when we come to this table. When we come and we receive the body of Christ in our mouth through this little piece of cracker, we come and we say, God, fill me. When today, as we're going to dip it into the juice, we're going to allow that juice to come into our mouth as well. The blood of Christ, it represents the cup of the new covenant. This cup represents the promise that God has made for us to have our sins forgiven. The promise that He will always be there, that He always will have our back, that He will always be with us. So we can come and we can receive this aimlessly, but in so doing, we put ourselves in peril. What we need to do is seek God today. Seek His presence in our life, and then come and say, yes, Jesus, I receive You today. So, Terry's going to play some light music for us. We're going to just call you to do something that's maybe a little different than what we've ever done before. We're going to call you to come and kneel at the kneeling benches that we have out here in front of us today. If you'd like to receive communion, it needs to come after a season of seeking God in your life. Pastor Steve will be on this side, and he'll be ready to receive you and to give you the bread and the juice today. I'll be on this side doing the same thing. If kneeling is a difficult thing for you, or an impossibility for you even, or if you just don't even prefer it, you can come and stand right here and we'll serve you the elements as well. But the key is not receiving the elements. The key for us is aligning our heart with what God wants to do in us. This is a simple means. This is a simple vehicle by which God has used through the centuries to speak to His people. Let's allow God to work in your life this morning. Would you pray with me as we begin this time of seeking? Father, for centuries upon centuries, You have used this bread and You have used this cup and You have ordained it for us to come into Your presence. There are a lot of different churches and a lot of different denominations in our community today who will use these elements in different ways. But we believe, God, that You will come and You will fill us with Your presence only after You bid us to do so. Only after You have come and filled us in our heart. Only after, God, You have begun to restore and renew us. God, today many of us feel probably very distant from You. Most of us feel very unworthy to come into Your presence in this way. But God, for those of us who have a heart even though we feel distant in a way and somewhat even confused, if we have a heart, God, that's turned towards you and burning to want to live for you, God, I just pray that you will fill us with this means of grace today. Forgive us of our sins. Restore our spirit. Encourage our souls. Give us hope. Whatever we need from you today, as we seek you, come and fill us, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. So this might feel a little haphazard. There's going to be no dismissal of Rose. But when you feel that you're ready to come, when you feel like if you want to receive these elements, we just invite you to come and either stand or kneel before us today. And let's receive God's presence as you do. Father, it's my prayer that as these elements have been received today, that there is a true sense of an alignment in you coming, you revealing yourself to us today through your grace and love and mercy. Now I ask, God, that you would continue to reveal yourself to us as we continue to consider ways in which you come and mingle among us. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. It is not just limited to three different ways that God's means of grace works in our lives. There are a few more ways I want to just cover briefly today, and we're actually going to give some real tangible ways you can get involved as we move forward. The next common means of grace that we experience in the church is one that is simply said, sharing. When we come together, we shouldn't just come together and sit in our chair and not speak to one another. That's not what God had in mind when He established the church. We should be taking steps to sharing our life with one another. We're going to be talking about this in big ways next Sunday. We're going to be talking about the way God has designed us to be a community. Our name is a church, Flushing Community Church of the Nazarene. Probably the most important word in that phrase is the word community, because it implies that we will be living life together. So God comes and He works in our lives. He speaks to us as we share our lives with one another. How many of you have an example in your mind right now of a time when you were sitting, sharing life with somebody? Maybe at a breakfast table at a restaurant. Maybe it was at a family reunion. Maybe it was at the break room or at work. Maybe it was with your spouse. There was a moment in time where you can remember God doing something in and through a conversation that you had with somebody else. God works through our relationships. Another way is through music. Some of you, this communicates more clearly than others. But there are all kinds of inspirational lyrics out there today by which God works in and through to communicate His love and grace and mercy. We don't have a worship band up here just so that we can sound good or have a really loud worship time, right? We believe God works through music. And so we believe that that is a very powerful means of grace. And maybe if you are inclined to really enjoy music, a way that God can really get a hold of you through all different kinds of great inspirational music. A third way might not have gotten on your radar screen until thinking about it this way, but I thought of exercise being one crazy way that God gets our attention. Now, some of you are saying that's a horrible idea. But I remember the days in which I started to run and try to get a little bit better shape. I had a good accountability friend who just looked at me one day and said, "When are you going to start taking care of yourself?" And I started to get engaged and do a few things. That's what we really do on Sunday nights with Open Gym Basketball. We just want guys to come together, get a good run in. But the best part of the night is the conversations in between games. The best part of the whole experience is sitting here after it's all done and talking with one another. Because when we're exercising, we feel better about ourselves typically. When we're exercising, we have a little bit of a more positive outlook. And God tends to get in our head through exercise. So I believe that it's a very powerful means of grace. How many of you exercise with an iPod in your ear or some kind of listening device? I've had great moments of worship on a trail in Grand Rapids, running, thinking I was on the verge of death and thinking I better get right with God, you know, but listening to praise and worship, listening to music, and just almost forgetting that I was running because God's presence was so strong in those moments. Final thing I want to mention right here is serving. Putting our love into action. When we make a decision to serve one another, God works in us more than He does in our action. I'm going to invite Debbie Wright to come up and join me on the platform. Debbie is our liaison to the Flushing Christian Outreach Center, which is right on McKinley Road in downtown. You've heard us speak of it many times. The Flushing Christian Outreach Center is going to hold a benefit auction here in just a few weeks, actually about 5 or 6 weeks. So Debbie wanted to share about ways you can serve and get involved with this great thing.
Thank you, Terry. I'd like to tell you just briefly about Flushing Christian Outreach Center, if you'd allow me. We opened our doors in January of 2007. We provide food and clothing and referral services to people within need within the Flushing community. That's people that live in the 48433 area code, zip code, excuse me. We served 39 families in January of 2007. We are now serving nearly 200 families every month. So the need has changed and increased greatly with our declining economy. People that never would have thought that they were going to have this need are asking for it, and we're there for them. The Outreach Center consists of 10 local churches of various Christian faiths that have come together to put all these services under one roof. The Nazarene Church is one of the church members. Pastor serves on the board. I just want to say thank you to the Nazarene Church because you guys were very, very supportive of the Outreach Center. When there's a need, when we put out a call, we always step forward. This is a very giving community, and I just wanted to take the moment to thank everyone for being so giving and having such open, big open hearts. It's greatly appreciated at the center and by me. I am the representative. If you ever have any questions or concerns regarding the Outreach Center, please feel free to come to me as your church representative, and I will be happy to take it back to the organization and share those with you. Now, that being said, we are doing an annual fundraiser. It's going to be October 23rd. It's a benefit dinner auction. It's going to be held right here at the church. It's called Red Carpet Moments is our theme this year. Last year we did country casual and everybody got to wear their blue jeans and their cowboy hats. This year we're going to dress it up a bit and asking everybody to get in their best duds and come. And we're going to have, the prices are $25 per person. That's $10 less than we did last year. We felt with the economy we were going to just reduce the price a little bit. So $25 per person. This is an adult-only event. Sorrento's will be catering the dinner, and Bella Birch's will be providing our desserts. Ron Polk, who does our dessert auctions here at the church, he's going to be our auctioneer this year, so that should really be fun. I just wanted to share a couple things that we're going to be offering. I wrote them down because I didn't want to forget anything. Just to give you an idea, we have silent auction items, which are generally the less expensive items that people can walk around and bid. And then we have a live auction items, which are the higher-end tickets. For some examples, we've got restaurant gift certificates from local restaurants, memberships to local fitness centers. People have donated jewelry. At the higher end for our live auction items, we have an antique trunk that has been donated by Bob Coe. A local company is donating his security system. Carol Co. is donating her famous carrot cake. We've had that at all of our dessert auctions, and it's gone for up to $200. So hopefully we'll get a good price. She makes the best carrot cake. That being said, Pastor Terry boasted that he really does a good pork chop dinner. And he has offered to auction off on the live auction a pork chop family style dinner for us. Now Father Roy at the Catholic Church did this last year, him and Father Lewis. So we're going to have a little competition this year for Father Roy. So let's let Nazarene step it forward and show him what we got, man. What I wanted to do here, in addition to invite you to participate, we're going to be selling tickets up until the event. I'll be in the back with tickets. But we need support from, it's been a struggle trying to get donations with the economy being what it is. So if you happen to own a business have something that you could donate. If you can provide a service, if you're a handyman and would like to do 4 hours of service, someone would bid on that. A lot of people say, yeah, I don't have anything anybody would want, or, you know, my stuff, I paint, but it's not good enough. It is. People, if you ask them, they will generally say, well, okay, well, I'm asking. We really need your help, and I'm asking if you have something that you think might be considered, please come to me, and I'll be happy to say, well, you know, it really doesn't fit in what we need, or you bet, we would love to have it. We sell ad space in the auction brochure. It's very reasonable. I've got information in the back that I can tell you about. So if you, a full page is only $75. If you want to promote your business, it's a tax write-off. We are a 501c3, so everything is tax deductible. That being said, season ticket holders. That's always a big thing that people are interested in. Sporting events like Pistons, Red Wings, U of M, MSU, the Whiting. If you've got season ticket holders, if you sew, quilt, photography, woodwork, things like that are very, very well received. So that being said, thank you so much. Appreciate it.
All right. Thank you, Debbie. Our Flushing Christian Outreach Center exists to serve our community, to do whatever it can to meet the needs of the hungry and those who are going through very difficult times. So we want to be a church that serves it, that gets behind it, that does whatever we can to support it. So that we thought that was worth our attention today. A few more means of grace, and then we're going to have a presentation that I think will really motivate us this morning toward a big step of action. I stepped outside this morning about 2:30 in the morning. It had been raining most of the day, and I stepped outside not for just that I wanted to be outside. My dog needed to use the bathroom, all right? So I'm out in the backyard, and I just happened to look up, and through a clouded sky, a sky that you could see nothing else but just some city lights, I saw a single star poke through that cloud, just one star. Now, you might think that it's more awestruck to walk out and see a gazillion stars in the sky. But after a rainy few days, to step out and see one star fighting through the clouds, I thought, that is so cool. And in that moment of walking my dog at 2:30 in the morning, I didn't feel alone. I felt God was there in a really strange, single star kind of way. And it made me think. So I added this to my list this morning. Nature is one way that God gets our attention. You haven't gone on a hike. You haven't gone and seen amazing sights of a sunrise or seen a storm roll in or seen the seasons change without thinking of God's grace and God's power in your life. When I was also finalizing my sermon, I looked at my little desk that's at our home in our basement. I looked up and I saw a myriad of books, none of which I've read, but all of them my wife has read. And it made me think that books, inspirational literature outside of God's Word that points you back towards God's Word, is also a means of grace. And if you would care to challenge that, ask Tammy about Karen Kingsbury. She'll point you to a woman who she believes is God's means of grace in her life. I talked about community already and sharing life together, but I listed it here again. Having intentional relationships to explore personal faith. And then the final thing is giving. Giving. We are a blessed people, but there are people among us who are not so blessed. So we have a DVD that we want to show you today about a ministry that our church is right behind. It is a ministry that we are convicted must be funded, and we must meet this need right here in Flushing. So much to the point that we're partnering, actually another church piloted it and started it, and we got behind it quickly last year, and we've worked together with Holy Cross Lutheran to make this ministry something that all the churches in our community are talking about and every believer is supporting if possible. If you would turn your attention to the screen, you're going to be introduced to a young man who will tell you his story about hunger.
A couple of months ago, I attended a Mercy meeting, my first one, and I heard some statistics about children and being hungry. And I have to say I was embarrassed as I sat there, because my thoughts went to, at least it's not here. Then they started talking about one of our local schools and said that it was 3% of the children didn't have anything to eat from Friday till Sunday. I thought child hunger had disappeared. As a child, I was Timmy. I remember opening the pizza box at my neighbor's house to look for the crust. We had some food, but I remember hunger, and I remember it bad. I think that's why I'm fat now. I've recovered. I was Timmy 45 years ago. I know that pain. I know the embarrassment. I remember stealing to eat. I was very stunned to find out that problem existed here in Flushing. We can't ignore our children. We can't. We need to raise money to feed approximately 100 kids. And it takes $180 to feed people, to feed children like Timmy. Our kids, not in another neighborhood, not across I-75, not in Ethiopia. We're talking about here in Flushing. We have some handouts that are going to be that'll be passed out. Would you pass them out? On that handout, it talks about what we can do. It talks about spending $5, just $5, folks, will feed a student for a weekend. We're talking about $20 to feed a kid for a month. $90 will take care of a child. And literally his siblings, when they eat off that backpack, also going home for a whole semester. Or $180 will take care of a child for a year. We need to raise enough money, and I know we can, for 100 kids. On this sheet, I'd like you to fill it out. You see, this isn't somebody else's problem. Our pastor called us to action, and it is time we became the church in the community, the one that helped. And I'm going to ask you to fill it out and put down what it is that you can do. And if what you can do is pray, thank you. And if what you can do is help fill the backpacks, I thank you. And if you can give $5 to help, that would be great. Or $20 for a month. But you know, many of us have been blessed. Many of us enjoy a lot of things in life. I have been very, very blessed. And it's from those blessings that we need to give back. On the chart it says there that $180 will feed a student. And at the bottom it says you can make a commitment on a monthly basis. I want to give you some numbers. I don't think this is a one-time problem. I think this is an ongoing problem. I don't think that this year is going to improve a lot for Timmy. And although a weekend of food is appreciated, for those of us that are blessed and are able to give, I believe we have an obligation to give and to help. $15 a month will feed a child for a year. $30 will feed two. And if you can give $45 a month, $10 a week basically, that would be great. That's going to feed three kids. $75 a month would feed five. And we need to feed 100 Timmies. So what I'd like you to do is I'd like you to fill that out. And Pastor and I would like to see what impact this church can make on the community. And again, we're not going to read off anybody's name. Just if you're able to give, and if you can feed a half a child, if you can feed or help, we just want to acknowledge and say 1, 3, 5, 7. Let's see how many we can feed. I have been blessed. I'm going to commit to feed the first five. I have a commitment from a business associate who watched the video. And he said, I don't know what it costs, but as soon as it is, he says, I'll feed at least one, maybe more. Just, I haven't had a chance to talk to him about what the cost was yet because it just got filled in. So there's another one. Mm-hmm. I showed it to another business here in Flint. And he says, I'm in for one. Mm-hmm. So right there we have seven. So if you would take the time right now and take the pencils that are on your chair and fill in what your level of commitment is, what can you do? What can you do to take away some hunger here in our community? And then pass those to the end of the row and so we can bring those up. Let's see what we can do as a community. Thank you.
Thank you, Frank, for sharing. Would you thank Frank for sharing as well today? Your generosity, your spirit, your passion for this is so evident. The first time I saw this video, I was at Frank's office. And I said to myself, maybe something you said. I said, that is completely unbelievable. I don't believe that could exist to that level. And the minute the video got done, Frank simply said, I was Tim. How can I deny that doesn't happen? Those of you who are teachers, those of you who are involved in our schools, you know the impact that hunger has on kids. They don't perform well, and they're set up to really be hungry the rest of their lives. In a meeting I was at with other pastors in our community this week, we acknowledged, the hungry will always be with us. Jesus said, the hungry will always be with us. But he also said, it's our obligation to meet that need, to take care of that, to do what we can to do our part. So what we've tried to develop is a program by which you can get involved on any level. If you can give $2 extra a weekend, you're going to feed half a child for the whole year. And if you can give a big lump sum at one time, praise the Lord. But if you're like many of us who can't give a lot at one time, you can contribute little by little, and that will go against a greater good, and it will feed a child. We heard a story of a child in Elm School that was a part of our pilot program this past year who moved out of the district, didn't even realize it. And when they found out that they were going to have to go to a school outside of Flushing, their first question was, but can I still get my backpack? Can I still get my food? That's the impact that this can make on the life of a child. This video is being made available to all of our area churches. It was shown at a pastor's meeting this week that I was at that I mentioned earlier. And we believe that our community of faith will meet this need. We believe that God has already got those of us who can give little or lots to meet this need. And so we want to just encourage you as a means of grace, not the ends itself. By feeding five or one or half a child, that's not the end. It is a way, though, that God will use you and God will bless you and God will fill that action to be a great moment of grace in your life. There will be a return toward your investment that I can't even begin to describe. So as you fill those sheets out, this is what we'd like to do. We would like for you to fill them out. We're going to sing a song in closing and we're going to pick up our kids and we are going to ask you to turn them in immediately to the tables right here into the back. We want to see what God is stirring in the hearts of our church, and I am so excited that I'll get to go then and tell other pastors and other churches what God did through us. We're the first church for this school year who's got this video, who's had this opportunity to give, and we believe God's going to do something very powerful through us. Now, maybe giving financially is really hard. I completely, completely understand. Maybe what you can do is help us pack those backpacks. We're going to have 100 bags to fill every Thursday night. We are going to need some help. Holy Cross is going to be the storehouse for the food. And we're going to bring it all there and we're going to pack 100 bags every Thursday and then get those bags to our schools. Maybe you can help do that. Maybe you can just be a prayer support for this ministry. Maybe that's the most you can do. Say yes. Keep that commitment close to you and be people of prayer. And let's see this problem of hunger disappear. Can we imagine seeing that disappear? I hope we can. Father, right now as we make commitments and as we come before you
You are our focus. You are our God. You are our coming King. And it's You we serve. It's You that we want to minister to meeting the needs of these children. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for spending these minutes with us at Flushing Community Church. If you would like to speak with someone regarding today's message, please contact our office at 810-732-0282 or visit flushingcommunity.org.